Okay, well, good evening. Good to see each of you tonight. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to forgo our opening song tonight, and we're going to get right into our study. And I absolutely love the passage of Scripture that we're going to deal with this evening. This is one of those classic passages of Scripture. It's one that we go to often, and it's a passage that gives us incredible encouragement. And I think that tonight, as we start into this section of Scripture, that we'll find this to be a really huge blessing. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go ahead and open up in word of prayer, and then we will get into a portrait of ministry strength, a portrait of ministry strength. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are so grateful and we are so humbled that you delight to work through us. We recognize that we are creatures that are prone to wander. We are people that become fearful. We are people that become overconfident. We are people that withdraw from taking a stand, and we are people that take stands that are unnecessary. I pray that you'd help us to be humbled as we look at this passage of Scripture. Help us to see that in order to be ministers of the gospel, in order to fulfill our duties and responsibilities as Christians, we have to stand fast. We have to be strong. I pray that we'd see the kind of strength that you demand and expect of your children. And I pray that you'd help me this evening to communicate the text of Scripture effectively. I pray that it would really minister to our hearts and strengthen us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. And I have this split into two parts. It's very possible that we drift into a third part, depending on how quickly we move through this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." I want to start with this thought before we get into really the purpose statement and what we really need to see as the big picture of this text. I want to start with this thought in mind. We really are living in a time when strength is being demonized. You know what I'm talking about? There's a kind of strength. We talk about, for instance, masculinity. We are in a culture where being a man who is tough, who is strong, is being viewed as a bad thing. Being assertive, being a leader, being countercultural and standing against the flow is something that people look at as a bad thing. Being responsible, it seems like we've lost a sense of responsibility in our culture. I want you to realize that we live in a world that has a twisted sense of a godly call to strong leadership. I'll put it like this. In the old days, people celebrated rugged, self-reliant individualism. But that rugged, self-reliant individualism became something that was very flesh-oriented, not a strength and a responsibility that was guided by biblical principle that was flowing out of the power of the Holy Spirit to enable people to rise up to an occasion and be responsible. But it was something that was found within us. It was really a sense of pride. We have gone beyond that. Now the modern man accepts a totally different paradigm, where the reality is we're passive. We're encouraged to just go with the flow. We're encouraged not to take a stand, not to be strong. And the reality is that both of these viewpoints lack biblical clarity. And so this evening, I want to remind us that we need a complete transformation in thought when it comes to this issue of what it means to be a strong Christian leader. The fact is that there are people that take the old school mentality that are very harsh. They're very inflexible. They are shamelessly domineering. And that's not what the Bible teaches us to be. On the other side, we have people that don't even know what it means to be a man anymore. And the bottom line is that God lays out in his word what it means to be a strong leader and where that strength is supposed to flow from. And the reality is that if we're going to have strong families, if we're going to have strong churches, if we're going to do anything for the sake of God's kingdom, we have to have strength. But it needs to be the kind of strength that we find in the Bible. And so with that in mind, let me give you kind of a summary statement for the section of scripture we're looking at tonight. And here it is. The purpose of this section of Paul's letter was meant to challenge Timothy to endure ministry hardships like a soldier, like an athlete, like a farmer who would patiently endure while investing in the future leaders of the church at Ephesus. It's kind of interesting the analogies that Paul uses. He uses the analogy of a soldier. And when we talk about a soldier in those days, we're talking about someone who was skilled in hand-to-hand combat. We talk about an athlete. This is someone who wasn't playing ping pong, folks. This is somebody who was wrestling, someone who was boxing, someone who was a runner. And when I say runner, he was running the marathon. These were the analogies that Paul used. We talk about a farmer. We weren't talking about someone who got on his John Deere tractor and had climate control while it was being guided by a GPS. It's true, guys. Okay. This is the world we live in. I'm not dogging John Deere tractors that have climate control. If I was a farmer, I'd probably want one of those too. But we're talking about people who worked with their hands. We're talking about people who were dependent on the elements. We're talking about people that had to work hard to get the produce that they needed. And some of these people literally lived hand to mouth. And so when we see the analogies that are used, we recognize that the kind of strength that Paul wants Timothy to have and the kind of strength that God wants you and me to have is a strength that we will understand when we understand the illustrations that he uses. And this is really all about this man being patient in endurance as a minister of the gospel who is investing in the lives of the people that are going to follow him and do the work that he's doing. In many ways, Timothy was the result of Paul doing what he was telling Timothy to do. Paul had passed the baton on to Timothy, and now Timothy is supposed to pass the baton on to those people that are following him. And so with that in mind, I want to ask this very simple question that we will answer over at least 2 weeks, perhaps three. How can we be strong, faithful Christians? In fact, when we talk about being a strong, faithful Christian, I want you to realize this is not just a question for the pastor or for the missionaries that we send overseas. The fact is that the Christian life is a tough life to live. We know that Paul used the analogy of wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He says, put on the whole armor of God so that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to look at a lot of the illustrations that Paul uses when it comes to this issue of warfare and athletics. And I want you to realize that most of those analogies were not written to pastors. They were written to every Christian because the Christian life is tough. The Christian life is a life that we have to endure in. Many of the passages of scripture that talk about the believer that has lived faithfully in the Christian life will use terms like overcomer or long suffering or persevering. Why those kinds of words? Well, because the Christian life is a tough life. It's very simple to enter into eternal life by trusting in the finished work of Christ. But I want you to think about what Jesus says. He says, enter into the gate, or I am the door. And then he says, the way that leads to life is a narrow way, and it's a difficult way. In other words, he says, you walk through a door. That's very simple. But what follows, what we call the Christian life, is a life that has endurance needed. Think about Pilgrim's Progress. that great story that a lot of us haven't read because we are so far removed from it. But it was once a classic American and English literature kind of a thing. Americans read it. Why? Because it talked about the nature of the Christian life, how people become believers through faith in Christ, and then what it's like to walk through the challenges of the Christian life. So let's talk about several ways that we can be strong, faithful Christians. The first truth we're going to find in the text before us is that strength begins with humility. Let me say it again. Strength begins with humility. Now, I want to ask you a question, not because I want to hear you answer, but I want you to think about it. Is that the way that the world looks at strength? Does the world say that if you want to be strong, you have to be weak first? Does the world encourage us to be strong in a humble sense or in a proud sense? Does the world encourage us to be self-reliant? Or does the world encourage us to be dependent? Well, the reality is that the way that the world presents strength and the way that the Christian is to look at strength is in fact contrary. They are against one another. When we talk about strength in the biblical sense, we need to recognize that the strength that we need to live the Christian life, to be faithful, is a strength that begins with humility. And I want you to see that straight from this passage. In verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let me say that again. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I want us to really break down that statement, because as we break down this statement, you will see that this is a call to find strength beginning with humility. The first thing I want us to see is that Paul reminded Timothy that the ministry is tough. We see that in the phrase, "thou therefore." When we see the word "therefore" in the New Testament, what does it tell us? The statement that's been made is connected to something that was presented earlier in the letter. And so the question is, well, what is he connecting this statement, this instruction, what is he connecting it to that was stated earlier? Well, he's connecting it to the fact that, first of all, he was isolated and in prison awaiting his death. In the background of this letter, Paul recognizes that he's about to come to the end of his life. He says at the end of the letter, he says that he has fought a good fight, that he's finished his course, that he's kept the faith, that there is a crown awaiting him because he's run his race faithfully. We understand that Paul recognizes that he is not going to be released. In fact, he's going to die. And with that in mind, he's telling Timothy, that's one of the reasons you need to be strong. I have mentored you. I've encouraged you. I've taught you. I'm not going to be here anymore to shoulder that load with you. I'm going to be going on to meet the Lord. You need to be strong. He's also reminding them that there are people that Paul had invested in, that in fact they had forsook him in fear. They had forsaken him in fear. We talked about this last week, how there were two individuals. He names them by name. And he says, these two men have forsaken me. And he doesn't just mention those two men, but he says, all who are in Asia have forsaken me. He's talking about a region that he had spent incredible amounts of time planting churches. The Apostle Paul had been, through the work at Ephesus and through the work at Corinth, involved in quite a few church plants in Asia Minor. And basically what Paul is saying is, after all these years of investment, all of that labor and all of that prayer and all of that teaching, nobody wants to come and stand beside me. That's shocking, isn't it? And he's basically saying, I'm in a pretty lonely place, Timothy. What's he communicating? You know, ministry can be difficult. Even people that he had labored with had forsaken him. And he wants Timothy to realize that that may very well happen to him. In other words, the reason that this man needs strength is because ministry is hard. The second thing I want you to see is that long-term commitment is something that requires strength. He says you need to be strong. And by the way, the tense of that isn't be strong once and you got it. The idea is that you need to be strong continually. It's something that needs to happen day after day after day after day. You know, it's kind of like when we were in high school and college, and at the beginning of our wrestling season, all these guys would come and try out for the team. I mean, there'd be like 35 or 40 guys that would come out for the wrestling team when I was in college. And by the end of the season, it might have been 15 to 20. Like, where did they all go? Well, there was a day they got up and they said, I don't want to do this anymore. And they might have done it a couple of times, and then one day they said, you know what, forget it. It's not just that I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore. And they said, I'll find some other things to do with my life the rest of the school year. Well, the fact is, every single day you get up, you've got a battle to fight. And you've got to get up and you've got to do it. And so this idea of being strong wasn't just be strong once and you got it. But you have to be strong continually. I want to go through several scriptures that talk about transitions in people's lives from men who had led for many, many years. And at the end of their faithful leadership, it was time for them to pass the baton on. And I want you to see how they challenged the people that they had ministered to in some situations for nearly 50 years. Listen to the way that Moses speaks to Joshua and the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 31. It says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Now, was that a blessing or a curse? I don't know. From the time he was 80 to the time he was 120, he dealt with the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness. He says, I can no more go out and come in. That may be the understatement of his life right there. Also, the Lord hath said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee. Thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. The Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. The Lord shall give them up before your face that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. I then go to Joshua 23. Joshua has now fulfilled his ministry, and he's an old man. And listen to what it says. It came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all of Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And they probably said, it is true. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto these nations because of you. The Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside from the right hand or to the left. You see these two great men who God had used in incredible ways in their youth. And actually, Moses was not a young man when God called him. He was an old man, but he was still strong. And God gave him strength. Joshua was really not that young when God called him to take Moses' place. But these men were faithful for decades. And at the end of that time, they're going to pass the baton on. And what do they say? You need to be strong and very courageous. And the fact is, your kids need to be strong and very courageous. It's a tough world to live in. Our young people coming up through the church, the next generation of fathers and mothers, the next generation of leaders need to be strong and very courageous. I think about David in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says, that David was greatly distressed for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter, and David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Think about Psalm 27:12. It says, "Deliver me not into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me, and such as breathe out cruelties. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." If I was to sit down and I was to catalog all of the places in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where somebody encouraged himself in the Lord, or someone was trying to encourage someone coming behind them to stand firm and to be a faithful man, if I was to go through and calculate all those, you would find an unbelievable volume of examples. And the reason is because living for God requires strength, requires a toughness, requires courage. But I want you to see something very important about all of those verses that I read to you. And you will find that this is also true in the text before us. This strength always comes from outside of us. That's really important. This is not a strength that you have in you. It's a strength that you get from God. Notice in the text in front of us, it says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." When we go to the Deuteronomy passage, we see that these people had objective promises that were going to strengthen them. Who gave them the promises? It was God. It says, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations before thee." Promise. They had objective declarations of God's presence. "For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth before thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." They had promises of God's presence. They had promises that God was going to strengthen them. In other words, he gave them something objective that they could go to and say, "God says, I believe that I'm going to draw strength from that." In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, he generally reminded himself of God's character and ways. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, how does he do that? He thinks about what God's like. He thinks about what he's learned about God's character and God's ways. And so David was strengthened because he knew what God was like. We see also in the Deuteronomy passage, they had a divine mandate. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto his fathers to give them." In Psalm 27:12-14, he reminded himself of God's goodness. He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." In other words, the reason they had strength was because of God's presence, because of God's promises, because God had given them a mandate and they had a responsibility, and they sensed that that responsibility was something they had to do. You know, for instance, as a dad, there are days that it's not easy to be a dad, a godly dad. There are situations that you face. And as you're facing these situations, you can begin to get this sense of being overwhelmed. And the question is, how do you respond in that situation? Well, you sit down and you say, there's a God in heaven who gave me these children. And he's given me a responsibility to lead them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are times when you're, as a mom, sitting there going, I'm overwhelmed. And you remind yourself, it is God who gave me these children. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And all of a sudden you recognize, I have this sense of responsibility because God has given that to me. And if God has given that to me, he'll strengthen me. And you feel the sense of being overwhelmed, and all of a sudden you begin to think about God's character and his ways. You remind yourself of his goodness. You remind yourself of his mercy, his compassion, his grace, his love, his strength. And as you think about God's ways and God's character and what he's given to you, it's something that gives you strength. If he wasn't in the picture, you wouldn't have the strength. But because he is, You can draw from that. And so I want you to notice the way he puts it in this text. He calls it grace. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, we know what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. We aren't entitled to it. That means that the strength that we have isn't something that we earned. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something we're entitled to. This is where the humble part comes in. I'm not strong because of something in me. I'm strong because of who he is. And I'm actually able to draw upon that strength as I recognize that it is he who gives it to me in an undeserved manner. Just like God gives me my salvation as a free gift that I don't earn, I don't deserve, I don't merit it. It's entirely rooted in what God did for me. The strength that I need as a Christian is something that I draw from him. It is a gift. He gives it to me when I need it. And by the way, this is not something that causes us to be presumptuous, where we step out into areas that we're not supposed to. I think of the example when Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan comes to him. And he basically says, stand up on the pinnacle of the temple and jump down. And Jesus says, no. And he gives a reason. And basically what Satan says is, well, doesn't he say that he's going to give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways? And what does Jesus say? Don't tempt the Lord thy God. The idea is don't presume against God. God didn't tell me to do it, so why would I assume that he's going to defend me and protect me if I do it? And so this is a strength that doesn't lead to presumption. It actually leads us to our knees. And so the strength that we need to be victorious in the Christian life is a strength that is fully of grace. And that's a really important thing. And by the way, what that does is, one of the reasons God puts us in places that we do not have the skills and we do not have the strength to be able to just do it on our own is because he wants us to recognize that we need him in those situations. And so there are times that rather than God blessing us abundantly, he sends leanness to us. He actually allows us to stumble. He actually allows us to struggle. He allows people to do difficult things toward us. And it's not because God hates us. But he wants to humble us so that we recognize the strength to carry on has to come from him. That's what he does. And so we're reminded it's of grace. It's all rooted in Christ. I've talked about this in other sections. We talk about God's strength, but I want you to realize that this strength that comes from Christ is both a positional, objective kind of a strength. And it's also a subjective, experiential kind of a strength. Now, when I say positional, objective, I'm going to talk about something like our salvation. For instance, when a person places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does God do? He declares them righteous on that very moment. And you ask the question, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because God said it, okay? He says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The bottom line is that when a person trusts Christ, objectively, the Bible promises that God saves them. And God keeps them. God secures them. We talk about something like eternal security. Eternal security is a positional, objective reality. We know it because God said it. When we talk about being restored to fellowship with God, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the idea is that we know that when we confess our sin to God, that he restores us. How do we know it? Because he says it objectively in his word. Eternal security is an objective reality. Restoration of fellowship is an objective reality. And so when I know God saved me and I know God keeps me and I know God's restored that fellowship, that communion, when I know that, what does that do? It strengthens me. But there's also an experiential side to this. For instance, we could talk about eternal security, or we could talk about assurance. Assurance is if I feel like I'm saved. Okay? There are people that are saved, they've trusted Christ as their Savior, yet they struggle with doubts for lots of different reasons. That struggle with an assurance of salvation is kind of the subjective, experiential side of this issue of security. God saved me, He keeps me, objective reality. I feel saved. That's subjective, experiential. And God wants to strengthen us in both ways. We talk about being restored in communion. I can go to the Word of God, I can read it and see what it says, and I can say objectively, I know this is true, but I may not feel that way. And so what does God do? The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, as He convinces us of objective truths, begins to actually strengthen our hearts in an experiential way. It's like God helps us to recognize, not just with our head, but with our heart, God accepts me on the basis of Christ. The point that I'm trying to make is that the strength that you and I need as Christians, it is all of God's grace, and it is all rooted in Christ. And the fact is, if we're going to endure as Christians, if we're going to be faithful as Christians, we have to recognize that strength begins with humility. God will put us in places on purpose. It's His sovereignty. It is His providential work in our lives. He will put us in places where we're over our head so that we'll get on our knees, and in the end we'll acknowledge that He strengthened us. And if you've been a Christian for any number of years, you know that's true. Absolutely know that's true. There are times that we get too self-confident and too self-reliant, and God has ways of just knocking us back down. And what is He? Why does He do that? Because He loves us. He really does love us. And so that's how He works in our life. Well, seeing that I only got through point number one today, we might go into a third part to this, but I want us to be thorough. I want us to really reflect on these things. This is a really, really precious text of Scripture. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself today, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Find your strength on your knees. Find your strength in Him, not in yourself. The kind of strength we're talking about is not a pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, self-reliance. We're talking about a strength that comes from God. Let's bow together for prayer, please. Father, thank You so much for reminding us this evening that we need Your strength to live this Christian life. And this is not a strength that comes from us, but it is a grace-oriented strength. It is a strength that is rooted in Christ. It's rooted in our position in Christ. And as we understand our position, as we understand these objective truths about how You have dealt with us and where we stand before You, the Holy Spirit will impress these truths in our hearts and give us this confidence and this assurance and this strength that we need to carry on. I pray that You would strengthen whoever was in desperate need of hearing this tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.